You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
From the beginning, the Canadian government has said it was waging war in Afghanistan to improve the conditions there under which women live. The Liberals have mouthed that mantra, just as the Conservatives mouth it today. Meanwhile, in Canada, the condition of women deteriorates due to policy of these very same governments who claim such concern for women. Recently, women's organizations in British Columbia joined to present information to the United Nations Committee on Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. It's called CEDA for short. To discuss this work and the response of the United Nations, I'm joined by Lee Lakeman. She's a member of Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter, and that is one of the groups that was involved in preparing and submitting a document to CEDA. Good morning, Lee,
Good morning. Welcome
back to Red Eye. Which women's groups joined together to make a submission?
Well, there's really two different groupings. At the national level, we come together in a coalition called Canadian Feminist Alliance for International Action. It's a group called FAFIA. And there are many, many, many national groups that are part of that formation. But in BC, we also decided things were so bad in BC that we'd be better off to double our efforts and organize a BC coalition that would submit an alternate report in our own name. So within that formation, there is LEAF, the Legal Education and Action Fund. There's Justice for Girls. There's the Daycare Coalition. There's the Poverty and Human Rights Center and North Shore Women's Center and Rape Relief, and there may even be a couple more.
How many reports have been submitted to the United Nations?
Well, every 5 years, the particular part of the United Nations that focuses on discrimination against women, that is the CEDAW Committee, when a government signs on, when a nation signs on, it agrees to answer every 5 years for whether or not and how it's improved the condition that of eliminating discrimination against women. So last year was a year in which Canada was expected to report, and we then gather ourselves on the clear understanding that the Canadian government won't be telling the same truth we would. We gather ourselves up and collect our own statistics and our own anecdotal information, and we tell our version of how things are in Canada. So the BC women did that in the fall of last year. And in November, the United Nations responded. First of all, it uses our report to challenge the Canadian government and say, well, that, you know, your report doesn't quite hold up because your citizens are saying something else. And so that process happened. And then they issue what they call concluding observations. And that's what we received at the end of the year, and that's what we were talking about when we gathered people at the library the other day.
Well, let's get to that report. The UN, having heard the Canadian government's official position, having heard from feminist organizations their report, what was the response of the United Nations Committee?
It was astoundingly critical. There are about 40 noticeable observations, so I won't be able to go through them all, but it commented, for instance, on the racism of the female population in prison, that clearly there is a targeted arrest going on. That they commented on the disproportionate number of Aboriginal women, for instance, that are incarcerated, as well as Afro-Canadian women. It talked about the failures in terms of violence against women, because as a participant in the UN, the Canadian government has agreed that it will respond to violence against women in particular ways, and this committee was observing that Canada is not doing so. For instance, governments are held responsible for protecting women from third parties, that is, from the individual behavior of men. And so they have to account for how well they're policing, how well the courts are doing, how well they're doing at negotiating with the independent women's movement within their own countries and with women's organizations within their own countries. And, you know, Canada's doing astoundingly badly. We have 50 wife murders every year still. There are women gathering tomorrow on the corner of Commercial and Broadway to protest the death that happened this week. And they're meeting every weekend after a death now. In BC, no women's group has a contract for a sexual assault center. The government has piecemealed all of that so that no center can sustain itself anymore to fight rape. We've got a terrific problem of women being the women who come forward to say that they're being trafficked within or across our borders have no access to the services and programs that they need or to any kind of relief. But the UN particularly focused on two huge problems. I mean, they went through things like legal aid. We have no legal aid, no inadequate legal aid for civil matters. But they also pointed to two huge problems. And one of them, that Canada must establish minimum standards for the provision of funding to social assistance programs. So they've clearly identified that social assistance is below tolerance levels across the country and that it's uneven across the country, and that's inconsistent with Canada, with what Canada has agreed to do. And they're also recognizing that the failure to deliver fair protections to the poor, like minimum standards on social assistance, is particularly a gendered issue. So that's a very, very noticeable comment. And the second one was that they've particularly pointed out the treatment of First Nations women, and in particular, the failure to investigate the cases of missing or murdered Aboriginal women. So those two things are so outstanding to the committee that they've done a very unusual thing, which is demand that Canada must respond within a year. Usually you report every 5 years. But they've asked Canada to account for itself in a year for these welfare rates becoming appropriate and for the disappearance of the First Nations women.
I was at the forum you referred to on last week, Thursday, where these issues were discussed, and different figures came forward at that meeting as to the actual number of missing and murdered women. You referred to particularly the Aboriginal women in this category. And we know places like Mexico are notorious for the large numbers of murders of women in Ciudad Juarez, for example. What sort of numbers can we say are actually accurate for the number of murdered and missing women?
The plain fact is we don't know. We, NWAC group, the National Association of Aboriginal Women, is using a figure of 511. That's, I would say, a conservative figure. And the women who were talking the other night were talking about a couple of thousand women. This is an issue worldwide, Indigenous women disappearing, and it's a terrible particular issue of the downtown east side. But right now we know that it's a deadly serious issue across Canada, certainly the Highway of Tears, the downtown east side, but all the way across the country. Communities are saying that women are being preyed on, and that they, for at least a couple of generations, are aware of disproportionate numbers of women disappearing. And we don't really know what's happened, but we do know that the state is responsible for at least investigating that and for revealing what we can about that. There's clearly been callousness. In Ciudad Juarez, there's revelations of state officials being involved in it, we need to know whether that's the case here. We need to know what is negligence, what is corruption, what is callous racism.
So the United Nations has set a deadline for unusually for a Canada report in 1 year.
That's right.
on the poverty issue and on the disappearance and murder issue of women. How do you see proceeding further to actually bring about change with regards to government policy and the inadequacy of its performance up to now?
Well, the FAFIA organization at the national level will take it to Canadian officials. The BC coalition asked for meetings with the government. We met with Wally Opal and brought these to his attention there. He indicated willingness to talk more, but we haven't seen any action yet. And so our plan is to raise these issues during the election and starting now, and to try and make as much public fuss about this as we can. First of all, to make citizens aware that the Canadian government has signed on to these obligations and is not meeting these obligations, and that, you know, Canada brags to the world community about how it treats women, and it exports versions of how women should be treated in our aid programs and in all kinds of other things. So, you know, our job is to make sure that Canadian women know this is being said in their name, and at the very same moment, Canadian women are being left without the rule of law, without appropriate provisions by their state for basic things that women need. And so we need not think about, like, educating politicians. They already know. They've already signed on to these agreements. We need to be demanding that they live up to these agreements now.
Thank you very much, Lee.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Lee Lakeman. She's a member of Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter. They are one of the groups involved in the coalition CEDAWBC, C.BC. If you'd like more information on the UN report and on their work, you can find that at rapereliefshelter.bc.ca, or you can check our website, cooperadio.org, at slash red eye for a link.